Father, we thank you. Let's pray for the word. We give you praise for such an opportunity to your word, Lord Jesus. We ask, O God, and receive from you tonight that you, Jesus, be glorified and us edified. We see your word clarity. We see ourselves in your word, and we are not just hearers, but we are the doers of that work of listening to your word. Amen. Are you ready, guys? We are in, what's the name of this series again? Unanswered Prayers. Or demystifying the myth called unanswered prayers. So something I'm okay. All right. Please, in our next meeting, Victor, if you're going to be around, I'd like you to lead in the affirmation. Right? All right. So yeah. Then some of these meetings, what I want to do is I can have one of you, Joel, Rachel, Victor, anybody, to just lead in prayers, you know, what, like we do in, during prayers, our prayer meetings. Oh, please don't record. Like we do in our prayer meetings, you just, so here, let's go, James chapter 1 and verse, 13. Is it 13? James chapter 1 verse 5, not 13. Amen. So, demystifying the myth called unanswered prayers. If you remember how we have been on this series, let us not forget. Sometimes what can help you is, first, if you have a note, you look at it again after the Bible study, you look at it, or you listen to the teaching, because the truth is you will not remember what you have been taught after just hearing it once. No, you don't ever remember anything that you have heard just once. You can remember portions of it, but it sticks when you listen to it again the second time or the third time and all of that. So just do that. It will help you so that you don't forget. Keep it in mind. James 1 verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask. If any of you, lacks wisdom, let him ask of what? The giving God. Now, I'm saying this because we have already retranslated this verse. It says, let him ask of the giving God who gives to all men liberally and does not find a reason to not give, and it shall be given to him. Right? We established that God does not measure the prayer points and the implications or the consequences of the prayer points or our capacity to have the answer to our prayers, quote unquote, the answer, quote unquote, to our prayers. God doesn't do all of that, determination. Doesn't do all that examination or scrutiny. He doesn't do all of that stuff. No, God is a God that gives. He can only give and give alone. So the problem is not with God. The problem is always with man. And we say that in Psalms 115, where we read, it says, Psalm 115 verse, what verse is that again? Psalms 115 verse 16. It says that the heavens belong to the Lord, and the earth he has given to man. He has given to man. And we said that God is not like an unjust judge. When we read in Luke 18, if you remember from the beginning of this series, Luke 18, we saw that parable Jesus gave, right? Remember the parable Jesus gave, the woman that said, oh, I want the king to avenge my case. And then the Bible calls that person the king, the unjust judge. The woman kept persuading consistently, asking for this, and then the judge says, because you bother me too much, I'll give you what you want. Right now, Jesus was not saying that God was unjust, but he was using that as an example, like, if people who are evil can do all of this, he now says, how much more shall God avenge what his own people? We now explain that chapter was not teaching about prayers, but how that God's vengeance against evil was what? Righteousness by faith. We read in verse 11 down, I now give another parable where there was a man, a publican, and then we had a Jew. Then these two people, one said, oh, thank you, Lord, I fast, all of that. And then the other one says, couldn't look up and say, God, please be propitiated unto me. We said that, where it says, have mercy on me. That word mercy, just not just mercy, it means I need a propitiation, like an atonement for my sin. Just let me use that word. And then we saw that Jesus Christ was teaching what? Righteousness by faith. And which means when he said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on earth? He was not speaking of the rapture. Oh, will anybody be ready for the rapture? No, as I used to think it was. But now we know better that what Jesus meant then was that now that the Son of Man has come, as he was then, which is not the rapture, as he was speaking then, was the coming of the Son of Man. He said, will he find faith? So he was speaking to people. Do you guys have faith in the Son of Man that has been prophesied about all these years? Do you guys have faith in the Son of Man? Will he find faith? Praise God. So he was speaking of righteousness by faith. As we know, Jesus used parables to speak to them. Why? Because they could not understand, the actual truth. They couldn't understand that John chapter 16 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but howbeit when the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall guide you to all the truth. Alright? So, that's just what we established. And we said that James 1 verse 5 here establishes God's true nature, or God's nature, you know, that God does not... He doesn't reject our prayers. He doesn't say no. You can ask and receive from God. Without finding any disagreement or whatever it is. It says, let him ask of the God that gives what liberally, and does not find fault. Does not find fault, and it shall be what given to him. So he now said, man therefore is in control. It's not about God. Man therefore decides the things that happen on earth. So you and I want you guys to hear this. You and I are in charge of the earth. Amen. You and I are in charge of the earth. Thank you, Jesus. You and I are in charge of the earth. I am in charge of the earth. You are in charge of the earth. Everything that happens on earth is from our activity, is from our desire. Absolutely everything that happens on the earth is from man's desire and man's activities. Psalm 115 verse 16 again, the heavens belongs to the Lord, and the earth he has given unto the children of men. So that means that the will of God, right? The will of God is not something that just happens whether we like it or not. Actually, it is the will of man that determines the things that God can do on earth. I say that again. The will of God is not just something that happens whether we like it or not. That is like predestination. Oh, this is how my life would be whether I like it or not. No, that's not what is called the will of God. Rather, it's the things about, the things of men's desires that determines all that God would do and not do on earth. So men determine everything that God can do on earth. Hallelujah. Men. So say, how can you be saying that men determine that? I thought God is almighty. You know, God is almighty. Almighty, he's in his almightiness and he's to the level of his ascendance of knowledge, he realizes that he does not need to display almightiness as, you know, authoritarianism. He does not need to display almightiness in that way as we think. Hallelujah. His almightiness would allow men, because he has given men that ability to make choices and decisions. That is how almighty is. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I we have to know that. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, so we said every answer to our prayer is here on earth. We said God is on earth, even Satan is on earth. Satan is not omnipresent. We said all of that. And God has given us authority over devils. Over devils. Everything that happens on earth is because of a man. That is why even God became a man. Alright? That's why even God became a man. Excuse me. Now, do you know that God doesn't just bring his will to pass because he's God? Because some people have the idea or the belief that whether we like it or not, God's will is what happens on earth. Now, this is what that This is the implication of that belief system. If it means that God's will is what comes to pass on the earth, that is, if everything you can see in your life and this earth is that, oh, God allowed it, let his name be glorified. Oh, if somebody just gets sick, you just say, oh, God knows why. You pray for them and they don't, which is actually a wrong statement. If they don't get healed, or if you are not, if you think that you cannot get them healed, you then say, it means that God probably wants to keep them that way. Say, God knows best. Or you lose someone to death, or sickness rather, or something like that. Is it God's will? Some of us in Nigeria know how many deaths that have, you know, been recorded in the past few days. Both the poor and the rich, we see killings. These days it's so difficult to travel. It's a risk every day of your life in Nigeria, and in every part of the world as well. You know, it's a risk these days in Nigeria for you to travel from one point to another. You have to check almost, you have to ensure that the vehicle you are entering is certified. Hallelujah. Even the route you are taking, you're not sure there are people that could ambush you and kidnap you. And that's it. If you escape, thank your God. Praise God. Is it God's will? You say, oh, you will not die until it's your time. We always say that. We don't die. Say, if it's my turn to die, I'm going to die. If it's not my turn, I don't need to stress it. Whatever God wants would happen. What will be, will be. It is what it is. So, is it really true? Now, if everything that happens and comes to pass on the earth means that if it is all God's will, it means that God has no justification for calling anyone rebellious or a sinner. It means that God has no justification for calling anyone rebellious or a sinner. Second thing is that it puts a question mark on the power and the essence of prayers. What then is the essence of prayers? Why then should you pray? Oh, you pray for God's will to come to pass. Are you sure? How do you know God's will? Now, the third thing is, it takes away the concept or the definition of love, which doesn't force itself on human free will. Which means it consequently takes away human free will. It also means that God inspires sin. If it is God's will, it means that God inspires sin. So then God is not just. Have you heard this statement before? If it is God's will, it is God's bill. That's very funny. I remember someone posted something that said, if it is God's will, it will be. And then I can be like that. She's my friend. I texted her. I said, hey, called her name. The post was, if it is God's will, it will be. So, say, hey, her name. Based on this, I was wondering, people that go to hell and will go to heaven, people that accept or reject the gospel, does it still fall into the category of God's will? Or, for instance, if I fail a course in school, or maybe in a journey I have an accident, or fall sick and die, etc., does it also fall into that category? You know what she replied? You started again. That's exactly what she replied. Because she knew that the questions I asked does not really fit into that, that theology or whatever it is. It doesn't fit. You discover that the moment that theology faces the slightest scrutiny, it just falls. Hallelujah. And God's word, we know God's word is the truth. Hallelujah. God's word stands every scrutiny. It passes the test of every scrutiny. And it stands as justified and objective. But you see, that clearly means that it cannot be God's will. Else, we do not have a reason to say, oh, God is just, or, pray about anything. So a preacher had preached the other time that everything, that we human beings are just running a script here on earth, that God has already predestined everything that will happen. That is a trouble. That's a problem. Some people come and say COVID-19 was a great tribulation. So then why do you pray If it's a great tribulation, why are you praying? The scriptures must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why pray against COVID-19? Some people say that, oh, God is judging the world with COVID-19. Then you see people come up with vaccines. The same people come up with vaccines. Sorry, I'm sorry, guys, about the background noise. I can't really... okay, you know what? Give me a second. So, yeah. You see that? So, you see people come up with vaccines to stop God's plan. That's a problem. How do you use vaccines to stop God's plan? If it's then you see that's clearly a problem. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. Let's see what the will of God is. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. Why am I open to 2 Timothy? 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. All right, let's read from verse 1. I exhort therefore, 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, right? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. He's asking them to pray. He doesn't say now, why is he asking them to pray? Look at verse 3. For this is the good and acceptable work in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, who will, that is, it's his will that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the will of God is seen in what? In salvation. All right, the will of God is seen in what? In salvation. Now please pay attention to this. The will of God, this is a clear revelation of what the will of God is, which is salvation, right? So it's not like, okay, what is the will of God? We know that the will of God is salvation, that all men come to salvation and they come to the knowledge of the truth. However, you notice that Paul asks men to pray for it to be. So that thing which you even call, oh, this is the will of God, when it comes to this, we also have to pray for it to happen. So it means that even salvation, which is the will of God, also was dependent or is dependent on men. Everything that happens here on earth is dependent on men. Stop blaming God. Stop asking God. Stop wandering with God. Stop, you know, hoping with God, hoping for God, hoping from God, you know, the answers to your prayers. Everything that you need to happen is within your ability, the ability that God has given man. So you don't pray and say, oh dear Lord, you know that you are on the throne. Oh Father, all these things are happening, but you are still God. Of course, it's still God. It's still God. Hallelujah. It's still God. You know? It's still God. But God tells us that even salvation is dependent on men. It's dependent on men who would believe also. All right? Romans 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 10. With the heart and the mouth. We said everything is dependent on what? Man's heart and mouth. All right, in Genesis, for instance, God did not just say, oh, this is the tree of life, you cannot eat, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He cannot say whether I like it or not, it's only my will that will come to pass. You cannot eat of this tree. No, he says you shall not eat. It means a man has a will to accept or reject it. He didn't even say stuff like, oh, if you dare try it, you discover that even the tree itself will shift and you cannot touch it. Just try me and see. Hallelujah. He didn't say that. Praise God. So that tells you that it's not God's will. Or God's will rather does not have, or man determines everything that will happen. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Even the gifts of the Spirit are dependent on man's control. Everything is on man's control. You see that? Solomon puts it like this in Proverbs 4 verse 23. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life, the things that govern life, from the heart and from the mouth. Praise God. We have an issue so many years ago 9/11, September 11th. And many people have used that to say that, oh, God judged America. You know? Could that be? Praise God. You know that's not true, right? That's not God's hand on America. That's not it. You know? Do you presume that God just said, oh, there's so much sin in America. I'll pour out my spirit upon some men and they will begin to destroy America. Separate unto me, you know, Al-Qaeda and those guys, and let them destroy. Praise the name of Jesus. You see? But could that be it? That's not true. We know that is not true. James says, let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. It's not God that causes the earthquakes. It's not God that caused people to, you know, the suicide bombers to perpetrate their evil. It is not God. The evil is not in any spiritual force, the spiritual space. The evil is inside the heart of men. It's always about men. Men determine everything. It's always about men. Evil is not in some kingdom somewhere. It's not in some kingdom. Even sin is not in a kingdom. It's not some spiritual force that the spirit of sin came inside of you. God. And then, like a zombie, you go and kill somebody. Praise God. That is not it. I said, sin is man devoid of the knowledge of God. It is not about something. Oh, and Jesus Christ, he held sin, and he gave sin a punch. Boom! And sin said, oh! And he gave another punch. Boom, take this, Satan. You know, all of that stuff. Hello? That is not what happened. Praise God. The salvation that Christ gave to us was salvation from the ignorance of the knowledge of God. God saved us from ourselves. We rejected Christ and depended on ourselves apart from God. Well, God now came to us to save us from ourselves. Sin is in man. The scripture says, Jesus says, it is, how do you put it again? It says, Mark 7. It said, it's not that which is external that defiles a man. He says, it's the thing inside a man. Praise God. It's the man. It's the man. That's why Satan says, I will give unto you the kingdoms of the earth. He was speaking of the hearts of men. When you talk about the spiritual realm, that is a man. It's a man. He said, the spiritual controls the physical. No, it's a man that controls the spiritual. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So okay, now let's look at James 1. Let's look at James 1. Let's look at James 1. Are you there? Praise God. Look at James verse 13. James 1 verse 13. James 1 verse 13. All right. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. All right? Let no man say, verse 13, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. That word tempted means planao, means to try something, a difficult situation or a temptation to sin. It says, don't say it is of God. Don't call God. Say, God, where are you? Don't call God. Amen. Praise God. Say, God, with all of these troubles around me, where are you? God, I remember. Remember, I'm your child. Remember, I've served you. Remember, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? Oh, look upon your people. Look down from heaven and behold the sufferings of your children, which have offered up sacrifice unto thee all these years. Begin to speak in King James Version, assuming that God only understands King James Version. But no, you err. James says, do not err. That this does not come from God. Hallelujah. Now, It doesn't come from God. It says, for God cannot be tempted with evil. What does that mean? It means that God does not react. God does not say, oh, because you did this, I will do this to you. God cannot be tempted with evil. You can't use evil to get at God. You can't say, God, oh, because I'm going to get God angry. That's why I tell people that people that always preach that, oh, you let's do something to provoke God. No, there's a realm, there's a way you're going to pray. There's a way you're going to sing some songs. God is going to get happy. You're going to sing some, you know, someone was teaching, he said, God is not always moved by prayers. But God can be moved by praise. Hello, you cannot get to move God in by anything you do. You cannot get to move God. The only thing, hallelujah, that God is moved by is faith. Without faith, it is what impossible to please God. He says God cannot be tempted. You can't use evil to try. You feel that when you leave church, God is saying, no shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me. Say, come back, please, come back to me. You can't tempt God with that. God does not need you to stray for him to be with you or for him to run after you. God is God like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. You want to get back? You can't do that. God is not emotional. He does not react. And that's why he's trustworthy. Praise God. That's why he's reliable. That's why he's faithful, because he's not reactionary. He's not emotional. Hallelujah. He's not emotional. Don't say that. That's what James said. Don't say that. You know, sometimes you can ask someone for help. You can say, I just need help. I need some money for this. You know, I need to, you know, do one or two things. And then say, okay, don't worry. Before 7 p.m. this evening, you see the alert on your phone. Oh, good. Thank you so much. And then by, you know, let's just say 6:55, the person calls you or texts you and say, oh, I actually wanted to help you, you know, but something came up and, you know, I cannot really. That's a man. But see, God is not like that. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. He does not find fault. That is, there is nothing that can come in between you and God giving you. Oh, glory to God. He is a constant God. He is sufficient, all sufficient. Praise the name of Jesus. And it's easy to forget this. Don't forget this. James says, do not err, my beloved. Don't say when you are tempted, when you are experiencing lack here and there, you say it's God. No. He says, every man is drawn away from his own lust. Let's look at verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted. Now, let's look at sin a little bit. Right? Every man is tempted, all right, when he's drawn away of his own lust. The word lust there is the word epitomai. It means strong passion. Strong passion. Epitomai means what? Strong passion. So it's not just passion. Strong passion. You have a strong passion for something. And then it says when you are drawn away by your strong passion. Now, what is sin? Sin is everything that is not God's will, right? When you have it, that strong desire. If you desire something strongly, it means that it's going to happen. You desire something strongly, it's going to happen. That's why even Paul will tell you to desire the spiritual things. It says, desire spiritual gifts. Now, concerning lust, it is a strong passion. Epitomai is spelled Epitomai. And it says, when it has conceived, the word conceived there is the word sulambano. Sulambano is spelled Sulambano. Sulambano, I spell that again. Sulambano. It means to help. It's used for pregnant women. Right? It means to be assisted concerning something, to be assisted. So when you have a strong passion, you find out that things begin to, you know, assist you. Things begin to work in favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Things begin to work in favor for that. Is a strong passion. Notice that Let's read it. Let's read it. It says, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth what? Sin. And when it is finished, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth what? Death. All right? It brings forth what? Death. It brings forth what? Death. So it means that at that point, what you wanted has come to pass. So notice that it does not call God here. Or the only place it calls God is that it does not mention God. It doesn't call Satan. It doesn't call Satan. Satan is not the reason why you sin. Hallelujah. Satan is not the reason we sin. Satan is not part of it. Satan only is able to help. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's not part of it. But Satan only helps. So when someone says that you have a, there's a spirit. Sometimes somebody, I remember someone called me the other day and said, can you pray for me? In the night I experienced the demons and all of those things. They try to disturb me here and there. They don't say he has lost issues. I said, just listen, just grow in the knowledge of Christ. And look too simple. The person expected me to do many, many, many things. The other one that said, yeah, she was having demons and all of those things. Now, sometimes when, this is how it happens sometimes. When I see that the person does not want to be, does not really want to get the true answer, I just give them what they want. Because sometimes I just check. Oh, what about this? A little way. I have my way of doing it. But if I check, you don't really want to get the truth, I'll just give you what you want and allow you to enjoy the consequence of that. Sometimes I'll just pray for you, even though I don't need to pray for you. I don't need to say, oh, Father, that spirit, that evil spirit of lust, in the name of Jesus, I command you right now, leave her alone. Doing that does not mean anything. At that point, you feel good. You feel good. The person asks you, you're going to feel good. But I remember someone even called me and said, oh, person was actually panting at that time. I just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop. And the person calmed down instantly. Right? But I know that that is nothing. Hallelujah. It's nothing. It's not a spirit. It is the man's desire. It is the man's heart that has caused him to experience such things. But you see, much more than that, if the person does not grow in the word, the person won't be there. That's why we get to say, we pray against the spirit of depression. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. There's no spirit called the spirit of depression. It's just psychological. That's what people call the deliverance. We just pray against that spirit of depression. We just pray against that spirit of lust. We just pray against that spirit of this, love of money. Just pray against that spirit. There's no spirit like that. It's just the man's desire. So the man has to change his desires. So that's why people call, and you see them sometimes they even vomit things from their mouth. They vomit things from their mouth because they are so overwhelmed with ignorance. And that's the reason that James says, do not err concerning these things. Because the evil that man commits or experiences is from his own heart. From his own heart. Hallelujah. So do not forget about this. Do not miss this. Now, let's look at James chapter 1. So in asking God for things, don't put anything between you and God. Because God finds no fault. It says in verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. Because God gives liberally. And does not find a reason to not give you, and it shall be given. Now look at verse 6. Now says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What does this mean? Let him ask in faith. Is he asking you to have faith to ask? No, the word faith there is the word conviction. Is the word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S, sorry. It means to be convinced. Convinced about what? He just told us in the previous verse that God is a God that does not find fault. Right? So the faith there means to be convinced that God does not find fault. Are we together? So the only faith is to do what? Know that God will give you. I don't know about you, but this is really good. It's good. It sounds good. Hallelujah. The moment you realize this, the moment you believe this, oh my goodness. He says, let him ask. Jesus said, ask. He says, you don't have because you have not yet asked. Amen. He said, let him ask. Nothing wavering. Don't waver. Don't say, but. You ask, and you know that God does not find fault. He says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He now says, for let that man not think that he shall receive anything for the Lord. So the problem is not, it's not that God does not give. The problem is that you cannot receive. He says, don't think that, how did he put it again? Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So the issue here is not God. The issue is man receiving. It's about you receiving. It says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Praise the name of Jesus. So a double-minded man is a man that thinks that God might give me, God might not give me, or God might find a reason to not give me, or something like that. But that's not what the scriptures teach. There's a double-minded man. At that point, you will never receive. Let's say you want to ask God for, let me say you want to pray for someone who is sick. You pray for them, you lay your hands on them, or something like that. Just lay your hands, and then you are praying, Father, if it's your will, I ask you to do it. If it's your will, at that point, just know that you cannot receive from God. At that point, because you're already thinking, you are finding a fault by thinking that God will find a fault. He says, let not that man, you are double-minded. I told us some weeks ago that Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees that use vain repetitions. And we said that vain repetition does not mean to say the same things again and again. That vain repetition means to not make a specific request. You're just going around the bush. You're traveling around the prayer point. Say what you want specifically. Hallelujah. Say exactly what you want. Praise God. He says that if not, you will not be able to receive from God. You will not. You will not. You won't be able to receive from God. This is how to ask. So instead of you thinking, is this God's will? No. You say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, be healed of your sickness, and you will have exactly what you say. The world is not as complicated as we have made it, as religion has made it. The world is truly not as complicated. God never wants to complicate things for you. There's no rule somewhere that says you should not have what you want, what you desire. There's nothing like that. You are a child of God. God didn't put evil in your heart. You cannot want evil, clearly. Hallelujah. There's nothing that exists anywhere. It was just formulated by men. It is men that bring up things that make you feel like God will not give you. No, it's men that do that. Like I told us of that man that said to me, that pastor that said, oh, God heals people sometimes by killing them. That is something you teach people. Why then would they see the reason to believe that God, can give them everything they ask? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. What does it say? Let's read verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Are you there? Hallelujah. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So now we see that, obviously we know that it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But people are perishing, right? People are perishing. So is it God's will? No. Is it God's will? Nope. But people are perishing, which means it is man's activities and man's desires that bring to fruition, right, the things of God, which means I should not say stuff like, so if I pray and it not happen, it is not the will of God. Man must therefore know how to receive from God in prayer. So this is why you pray. God would need you to pray for things to happen. Do you know that even the end of this age, I'm not talking about when Jesus came and died and resurrected, that is the end of an age, that's the end of an age as from the scriptures, but I'm talking about the end of this world is also dependent on men. Even believers would not be shocked by the rapture. It's things that would birth out by doing the work of God. The Bible says he wants all men to be saved. That is God's will. It is now dependent on us. Preach the word, teach the word, exhort in season and out of season. In season and out of season means where you get people following and many people not get people not following. In season and out of season, it is now dependent on. So it's not like, oh, when the Lord shall come, and then no, fam. It is the will of God that all men should do what? To come to repentance. So I'm not saying that all men will come to repentance before, just know what I've seen. But I'm saying it is now dependent on us to bring God's will to pass. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, when we're talking about, I think it's either when we're talking about the book of Revelation or something like that, or you know, all this end time stuff that will deal with this stuff. So I don't veer into something else at this point. But you see, I want us to see that it is never of God. I mean, you should never blame God for anything. You should never blame God for anything. Don't ever do that. You know, even in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where it talks about sin entering into the world, it does not mention God, it does not mention Satan. It doesn't talk about that. Just all about man. Man, 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 man. It's a man that now saves man from sin. So everything has to do with men. Alright? So like I said, as we are talking about sin, I said, don't ever say you have a spirit of sin or you don't know, oh, you know, maybe it's a sexual desire or something like that. You say, I don't know what happens to me. I don't know. The devil took over me. Let me prove to you that it is not a spirit. If, let's say, okay, you are usually, you know, you're usually moved by beautiful girls or good looking girls and you begin to lust after them. Now, you know that if maybe because of your immoral lifestyle, you now get an STD. Do you know that all those desires will disappear? It's as though the spirit would have left you. Or maybe even not. Okay, let's not go into that one. Let's just say you're about to perpetrate that evil, and then someone brings a gun and puts it at your head, say, if you try it, you'll be a dead man. Where would the spirit be at that point? It tells you that it's actually within your will. It is not about any stupid spirit. There are so many people on YouTube teaching nonsense, rubbish, absolute nonsense. No, nonsense, as in dung. Teaching about the spirit of this and spirit of that. Ha! I'm like, where do you guys get this nonsense from? Where do you guys get these things from? Demons are people. Demons are beings or creatures that only help with your own desire, your own authority. They cannot do without it. Praise God. Praise God. Why can't a demon tempt you or make you to, or just, you know, use you to eat grass as a human being? As a human being, why can't the demon just, you know, just make you, it will take your own will, your own authority. Hallelujah. That's why even the spirit of God cannot make you to do things. You have to do it. Hallelujah. Because everything that happens on earth has been given to man. He tells even God, His will is salvation. Oh yes, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is, yes, even salvation is God's will. But you see, it had to be that a man called Jesus would yield to the will of the Father for salvation to be made possible. A man has to yield to God. So when we pray, we are not praying for God. How do I put it? We are not praying for God. How do I put it? We are not asking God to do something, right? Rather, we are bringing it to pass. We are bringing what God wants to pass. We are making it to come to fruition with our strong passion. That's why when Jesus prayed, the Bible says with strong cries. Sometimes when you are praying for something, I discovered that the reason some people do not know how to walk the power of God is because there is as though they are either shy or they have not developed that passion. Look at how Jesus worked miracles, for instance. The Bible says, and he was moved with compassion, and he did this and he did that. Compassion in the heart. There's a passion for something that you want to see something happen, and you make it to happen. You make it to happen. Ah, Father. It's not God making it to happen. It is the will, so it's the power, authority that God has given you to make it happen that you use. So you make things happen in prayers with a strong desire. I really baffle when someone just, you want to pray for something to happen and you're just like, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. I don't need to stress. Oh, sweatless. It's done. It's all done. It's all grace. If it's by works, if it's not by works, I don't need to pray and fast for God to, you're 100% right. But you see, Jesus Christ fasted. Jesus Christ prayed. That's between you and God. But as it regards you and the earth and the things that will happen, no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at it. We saw Mark 11. Mark 11. It's somewhere I have to run to right now. Mark 11. So I'll give us a question and answer just to hear one or two things from us if you might have a question. Mark 11 verse 23. Let's start from verse 22. And Jesus answered them, said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And I say, therefore I say unto you, in verse 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you do what? Receive, and you shall have. So it's about, firstly, that you know that you have received, and then the second thing is that you shall now have. So for you to have is why you pray. When you pray, know all that you will already receive. It's not a case of, oh, would God do it? No. You are praying for nations to be saved. Would God do it? Absolutely. Has God put angels in place? Absolutely. But you see, for us to have, then now is meant to be a persistence. It is not out of place to see a thing that you know is not God's will, and then you persistently pray. It's not faithlessness. Oh, you prayed once, I say, I don't need to bother again. Hey, continue praying until you see it happen. It's not God. It is man and bringing things to pass. He says those things that he says, he would have those things that he says. That word says is not like you say it once. It's that those things you keep on saying. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just like the gifts of the Spirit, how the gifts of the Spirit work. You try something like, for instance, word of knowledge. You try word of knowledge, because I know word of knowledge is one that is more, we like it a lot as charismatics or Pentecostals. We love those things, those dramatic stuff. I mean, you want to yield yourself to the ability of God inside of you, and you want to receive from God information and facts and all of that stuff, and you want to pray and bless lives and glorify Jesus, and then you do something and discover that you don't get the affirmation. Don't get discouraged. Go for it again. Don't begin to say, oh, did God speak to me or not? No. It is, did you learn how to receive? You keep going on and on. At a point, you discover that it is very easy. It is very easy to walk in those gifts. Hallelujah. It's very, very easy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even right now, we can just choose to just begin to do all of this. But you see, it's within man's ability. It's within man's ability. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse chapter 5 as we close. 1 John 5, not 1 John chapter 1. Because this is the scripture, that a lot of us use. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Or let's start from verse 13. 1 John 5 and verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. So far, I hope you get the discourse that Satan does not cause sin, right? It is man's desire that causes sin. So, man can stop it. You know, if you have a problem with, you know, a particular sinful habit or something like that, you find a way to, you know, stop it. You know, stop it. If it's something natural that you probably watch something online and all of those things, stop it. Myself, I needed to, on Instagram, for instance, I needed to unfollow a lot of people. I still do that to date, anyways. You unfollow people so that even something like your explore page, for instance, will not show you something that you don't want to see. Praise God. Although I'm a lot mature by the grace of God, you know, knowing all of all these things, you know. But you see, it's not that difficult. Some people cry, they're like, oh God, how will I stop this? How will I stop this? If something's not wrong with you, nothing is wrong with you. Hallelujah. You just need to put some certain things in place. Praise God. Praise God. That's why you don't even need to, the truth is, you don't always need to even pray. You don't need it. You pray, oh guys, don't get me wrong. But even if you do not pray, it doesn't mean that you cannot stop it. And stop it. So forget all this nonsense, rubbish theologies that Paul warned us against. Called it humanistic thinking. High sounding nonsense about the spiritual world. Says if it's not about Christ, throw it away. Just discard it. Discard it. Someone mentioned to me a dream yesterday. Say, this. And when she did that. Something happened. I said, this is not even from God. It's not even inspired. This one is not even a warning from God. It's not even... It's nonsense. Just don't... We pray, sha. You understand? But you already know why we are praying. We're not praying as a response to the dream. We are praying because we can pray and receive from God. Do you understand? So, don't begin to give power to what does not have power. Because if you believe the wrong thing, that is exactly what Satan would use against you. So don't believe rubbish. Don't believe rubbish. I tell myself, the day that juju works on me, that when I say juju, I mean like voodoo, then I know that I will not serve God again. All this spiritual rubbish, you know, voodoo. You say somebody did you voodoo. And then since then something happened to you. Bring it. It's so ridiculous. Who is Satan? Satan is a fallen angel. have you thought about that? Do you know that angels cannot overpower man? I mean angels, they cannot overpower man. What I mean by that is an authority that God has given to us in Christ. They cannot. Angels are ministers of God. They cannot overpower man. So, why do you give demons power? I'm not talking about angels now. I'm talking about demons. Praise God. Even if I don't pray before I sleep at night, I don't need to bother myself about anything. I know the prayers that I pray, I know why I pray. Sometimes as I'm walking on the road, on the way, I can shake people. I can always, sometimes it's so bad. You can even, I'm sure some of you would have had the same experience. Sometimes you can, as though you can sense the demons. But it does not do any. Is that blood of Jesus? That, hey, do you know that I just do you know that that girl was possessed of it? Are you surprised? Why would you do surprise? There's nothing, there's no big deal about that. Demons are always there. They are manifest. Hallelujah. But you see, man is in authority. they are subject to man. So discard anything that does not teach you your revelation in Christ, your identity in Christ. Discard it. That is your only diet. That is your only duty as a believer, to grow in the knowledge, not of anything spiritual, but in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ. In Christ. 1 John 5 verse 15. In Christ. So we've seen all of this. That God is a good God. He's a giving God. 1 John 5 verse 13. Verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." That means you may have trust in the Son of God. How are we believing on this? And this is the confidence. This is what he means by believe on the name of the Son of God. That is believe in the power of God. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, oh Jesus. Oh, the devil is a liar. God's word is true. It says, if you ask anything, oh God, if you ask anything, oh Jesus, in his name, if you ask anything, okay, sorry, not in his name. It says, if you ask anything according to his will, bad translation, he heareth us. Bad translation. The King James Version puts, you know, firstly to know that in the original text, in the Greek text, we do not have punctuations, commas, full stops, chapters, verses, etc. So let's take away that comma, right? Let's take it away. I want us to pay attention here as we close. Please pay attention. Look at it again. Now, read verse 14 and 15 together as though there are no punctuations. Let's read that together. And this is the confidence. I would like us to please view it together. If you're not doing that, please do that. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. Now, on the surface value, what do you get? What do you get here? Take away that comma once again from that place. Look at verse 14 again. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, let us put that comma at anything. Put the comma at anything. Remove the comma from after according to his will. So you have, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, comma, according to his will, he heareth us. Now, just keep that verse 14. Now, read verse 15. I'll get back to verse 14. Verse 15. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. Now, verse 15 alone, what do you get from verse 15? We see that in verse 15, it says, and if we know he heareth us whatsoever we ask. So, which means the teaching there is that whatsoever we ask, he hears us, right? Whatsoever we ask, he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, he hears us. And we know that we have the petitions we desire. So he does not put any, how is the word? Someone help me, someone that knows English. Hallelujah. He doesn't put I would say, that's not the word I'm looking for. You know what, when someone is trying to put a disqualification, something like that, for you to, it doesn't say, okay, if you ask some things, it just says whatsoever. I'm trying to find the English word. Hallelujah. You know, I'll try to use my English apps much more. Hallelujah. I need to, you know, work on that. But praise God, you know, English was made by man as well. Amen. A man does not have authority over me, so I can speak whatever. Glory to God. So I said in verse 15, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask. Now, what will happen to the whatsoever we ask? He says we will have the petitions. Whatsoever we would have. He does not say whatsoever we would have some. He says we will have the petitions we desired of him. Praise God. So if or since this is what verse 15 means, therefore verse 14 cannot then be saying something contrary. Verse 14 cannot then be saying, if you ask anything that is according to his will. Oh, no. He just told us in verse 15 that whatsoever we ask, we will have the desired petitions. So it would then mean that this comma that the translators put here, remember I said there's nothing like that in the original. So let's be better translators. Let's put a comma at anything or after anything in verse 14. Let's read that now. Remember, there's no comma in according to his will. There's no comma in after his will, right? And this is the confidence that we have in him, comma. That, comma, if we ask anything, comma. See that? So if I ask anything, then according to his will, he hears us. Which means it now redefines that sentence, that it is now the will of God to hear us. Hallelujah. You see that? It is then the will of God to hear us. So if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it's reminding us that this is the confidence that we have. And that's why verse 15 then says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So guys, that is God's word for us. That is God's word for us. Amen. I have to run now. But if you have a question so far, if you have a question, I'd like you to ask. All right, let me pause the recording. I can hear you. Okay, hold on. Let me put my earphones back. I was trying to bring it out there. It's not the will of God for... Okay, let me say this for the sake of the recording. Just reiterate the question. So you're asking that, or someone gives an analogy of Adam and Eve. God says, don't eat the fruit. If you eat it, you will die. So men already have fear that if they do this, they're going to die. So at the end of the day, we just discover that it is still God's will that they end up, in the sense that God already said they're going to die if they eat the fruit. So are we saying that man actually has free will in that sense? No. The Bible says, by one man, not by God, but by one man, sin entered the world. And death by sin. And death passed upon all men, even upon them who had not sinned according to the similitude of transgression of the sin of his series of what am I saying? Series of Adam's transgression and all of that. So which was the figure of sin to come. So it is not God's doing that any man dies. Death actually is a result of man's sin. So it's not that God created that or God death somehow was God's will. No. God just tells man that, listen, this is what is gonna happen if you do this. If you do it, not whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. No, man's free will is there to determine whether anything can ever happen or not. So it is, at the end of the day, still man's power. It's a man's power to allow things to happen. Whether I even believe that death is God's will, it's still dependent on man to bring death. So the point is that it can never be God's will. It can never be that man does not have free will or that, whatever he's saying. So that's just the truth. Yep. Any other concern? Anyone else?